Right now, as we do each and every week, we are going to go inside the ropes.
For a quick look at a number of hot topics in the world of golf this week, let's go inside the ropes.
It is our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment, as we do each and every week, taking a handful of hot topics in the world of golf and taking a closer look at them, brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. If you think you're ready for the third toughest course on the PGA Tour, take one of golf's ultimate tests at PGA National Resort and Spa. Visit PGAResort.com. And Pat, we already mentioned Tiger Woods in the first hour, but it would not be a Golf Exchange radio show unless there was ample mentioning of the world's greatest golfer, Tiger Woods. And Dateline Philadelphia, members at Arana Mink Golf Club in suburban Philadelphia are to vote on October 15th, later this week, on whether to accept a proposal to host Tiger's AT&T National PGA Tour event for 2 years in 2010 and 2011, while Congressional Country Club undergoes a renovation in advance of the 2011 U.S. Open. The AT&T National will be played at Congressional in Washington, D.C. this coming year in 2009. And if the members at Arana Mink vote for this, it'll be the first professional golf in Philadelphia since the Senior PGA Championship way back in 2003. Pat, is this a good move for Tiger's tournament? Is this a good move for Philadelphia?
Absolutely, yes, on both counts, Russ. I've played it around a bunch of times. It's an excellent golf course, old Donald Ross. I think they've actually had the PGA Championship there in the past. But Philadelphia has a lot of great golf courses. Marion, Pine Valley's in the Philadelphia area, even though it's in New Jersey. It's only about, you know, an hour outside, less than that, really, from Philadelphia. And Aronimink's one of the other, you know, just hidden jewels up there. You know, I think it's a great move for Tiger because I think it exposes him to another area of the country that, you know, obviously knows who he is, but to have his actual tournament there, I think helps him. And, you know, as far as Philadelphia golf, I think it's just great to expose some people. They're going to have the U.S. Open in Marion in 2011, I believe. So this would be a great, quinella, so to speak, using dog racing terms, to have Tiger's tournament and the U.S. Open there in the same year. Ironically enough, Aronimink got into some trouble a few years ago. This is probably in the early 90s. They were slated to have the PGA Championship there, but this was back in the day when the PGA Tour was cognizant of the minority memberships in the clubs that they were going to have championships at. And Aronimink either didn't have a African-American or a minority member, or they didn't want to allow the PGA Tour to sort of look at their membership list, so they passed on it. It was scheduled to be there, and they ended up, I don't know where it ended up going that year, but Aronimink was supposed to have it, and because they didn't want to get into that minority membership stuff, they elected to pass.
Well, there were a few stories like that, Pat, back in the late 80s, early 90s. I know Shoal Creek down in Alabama was another story. Yeah, like that. So it's glad to see, you know, 15,
so it is
20.
Ironic that Tiger Woods, yes, an African-American, would help host this tournament at a club that had some issues with this.
It's ironic, but it's kind of a breath of fresh air that we're seeing, you know, 15, 20 years later, that that's no longer the case and it's no longer an issue. The only odd thing I find about this, and I guess it's poetic, it's kind of poetic, that if it's not going to be in Washington, D.C., the current nation's capital, the AT&T National, which has a really patriotic feel to it. It's 4th of July weekend, and Tiger, his father was a member of the armed services, and Tiger brings in thousands of soldiers to help with the tournament. He gives them, you know, free entry to the golf course, all week long, tickets, as you know, he has some soldiers on tee boxes as hole announcers. It's kind of nice that they say, all right, coming up now, group number 21, you know, Phil Mickelson and Jim Furyk. You know, it's really nice, the connection between the country and patriotism and the armed forces and Tiger's tournament. And I guess it's poetic that if it's not going to be in D.C. while Congressional is undergoing some renovations for the U.S. Open, then it's in Philadelphia, which was formerly the nation's capital before Washington, D.C. It's a little odd to me that, you know, why would they move it out of the Washington, D.C. market and, you know, to Philadelphia. I don't have a problem with it necessarily, but I wonder if they tried to keep it in the D.C. market or the surrounding Maryland area or Virginia first before going to Philadelphia, because, you know, for 2 years, that market's going to lose a tournament.
The only thing I can think of, Russ, is like Kays Valley is a beautiful course. Of course, they're having the senior Constellation Energy, whatever it's called.
Baltimore Country Club.
That's a beautiful golf course. So there are courses in and around the Washington, D.C. area that could host this. The problem is, and this is what's kind of surprising with me and Aronimink, is that, you know, July 4th weekend is a huge, it's probably the biggest weekend for golf in the Northeast of the whole summer. So when you're doing a tournament like this, you're giving up basically the golf course for not just that week, but a couple weeks before that. So the members at Aronimink are giving up their course for, you know, like you're saying, the most lucrative month of the summer. So the only thing I can think of is maybe they did approach some of those top-tier golf courses in the Washington, D.C. area, and they just said, look, we don't want to do it. Aronimink might have said, look, we'll take it on for a couple of years, number one, because we think it'd be great exposure for us, but maybe they're trying to get back into the, you know, PGA championship circle by hosting this event and seeing if they want to do it, and maybe the PGA Tour would take an interest in that.
All right, good thoughts, Pat. As always, Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760. It's the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. We do it every week here, discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you by our friends at PGA National Resort and Spa. Challenge yourself on a course that has hosted the Ryder Cup, the PGA Championship, and now the Honda Classic. Come and play at PGA National Resort and Spa. Visit PGAResort.com. And, Pat, I talk about it all the time. This is kind of an aside because it just came to me. You and I and Eddie McEnroe, tournament director for the Honda Classic, played the Hague course last Sunday, a week ago today, and it had been a while. I think the Hague was one of the of the five courses there. I think it had been the longest that I had played the Hague, probably almost a year, because I usually play, you know, play Palmer quite a bit since the renovation, play the Champ every now and then, although it's kind of a pain in the butt because it's cart path only, although they went to 90-degree rule for a couple of months there in the summer, which was nice. Play the Squire a little bit. Not a fan of the Squire because my game is not conducive to short
compact,
narrow, tight courses.
Most of ours aren't. Yes.
I'm better with 6,900 yards and wide open versus 6,000 yards and tree-lined and tight. And then I, you know, play the Estates course over there at Northlake, a couple miles away from the main facility quite often. So it had been a while since I played the Hague, and I had forgotten what a great course that is. I really am a big fan of the Hague, and I'd say it's probably one of my two favorites, along with the Palmer course. I mean, obviously the Champ's a great course, but it's just so tough that for me it's not as enjoyable of a round as the Palmer or the Hague, and I'd forgotten what a great track that is. The Hague is a really nice design.
The Hague's a tough golf course. We often host one of our county qualifiers at the Hague, and it's traditionally one of the higher scores that, you know, that will still get you into the county am. So the front nine there, I think, is a good three or four shots harder than the back nine. So if you can get through the front nine, specifically that stretch of like 4, 5, 6, you know, like where that par five, the one par five that zigzags, that one's a killer for me. If you can get through that stretch, you know, 8, 9, 8's a tough hole.
8 and 9
7's
are very
tough hole.
Yeah,
for a par three. So there's some tough holes on that front side. Backside's a little bit more forgiving. I'm saying a little bit. And I seem to play that better. But I like the Hague too. I like the Palmer the best. Even over the Champ. I just think from a playability standpoint,
right, that's
it's
my
the
point.
Best.
Obviously, you know, the Champ is the greatest of the
it's
five
a challenge,
courses.
It's challenge, but it's hard.
It's a PGA Tour quality level course that has hosted majors. So there's no doubt that, as far as golf courses worldwide, it's held in highest esteem. There's no doubt about it. But for me, as a 16 handicap, to go out and play a round of golf as we did last week, playing on the Hague or the Palmer, I mean, it's more of an enjoyable round. Although every now and then you got to test yourself and play the Champ,
just to remind
yourself of how big of a chasm there is between not only you and PGA Tour players, because that's just monumental, but you and a good, like a scratch player, which you almost are, Pat, as a 2 handicap. But just to remind myself how far I am between just an average scratch good player that's nowhere near being as good as a PGA Tour player. You play the Champ and you realize
you do.
I got a ways to go.
You do. And the Champ's odd because the front nine's a lot easier than the back nine as a juxtaposed to the Hague. It's one of those where you're feeling good, you might shoot like 38 on the front, then that back nine kicks in and you end up shooting 50.
You always know the bear trap is looming.